Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Good afternoon, Indianapolis. Hey, welcome back to Edge of Indy. Edge of Indy, if you haven't come across this before, is a show dedicated to thought leadership in Indianapolis. What's happening, new ideas, new trends. Everything that we're trying to do for Indianapolis is pointing towards what causes are happening that we want you to pay attention to, and giving a lift to some organizations and individuals that that really are maybe doing some things that need a showcase because they don't showcase themselves nearly enough, right? Some yes. Secret sauce here in Indianapolis that we are beholden to. We certainly want to make sure that our listeners give note, and we have that one of those very people here in the studio today, and we're going to be talking to her about what she does, from life coaching and just business consulting in general. So welcome back to The Edge. We always talk about Choose Local, and we have a local talent here in Indianapolis. That's Desiree Garcia. Desiree, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Aaron.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. And Desiree and I go back a little ways, but we also have, obviously, Stephanie Daly, our social media manager. And Desiree and Stephanie go back a very long
time. A lot longer.
So that said, Desiree, you actually are going to have some great inside information for me about Stephanie, right?
Oh.
Absolutely. As we were talking earlier about dysfunctions in a team, we can cover some of that today.
What?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Man, come on.
Well, Desiree, introduce yourself to our audience. What do you do?
So, Vida Aventura, which means adventurous life in Spanish.
Very cool.
But I am from a Cuban from Fort Wayne, and I don't speak Spanish, so.
So are you allowed to borrow that? Of course you are. I mean, you're tying into a key concept of, and a lot of times you need to.
Aaron.
Okay.
Yes, tying into.
Go ahead.
Key concept of my heritage. So I founded Vida Aventura. Actually, April 1st will be my 11th birthday.
11!
Yeah.
That is so great!
Yeah.
That is so great. Yeah. April Fool's Day.
Right.
I love it.
Right? No coincidence there.
No.
So yeah. So I do coaching, as you said, personal coaching as well as executive coaching,
yep.
Leadership development, and experience-based team building.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And you certainly, 11 years doing this.
Yeah.
Where do you come from before you, what was your previous history, your other life before you actually started to help other businesses?
Well, that business was, my other life, we helped other businesses as well,
okay.
But in a much different way. So I spent 20 years in corporate America.
Uh-huh.
I was in the transportation and logistics business.
Okay.
And so actually our tagline was that we gave people sleep at night confidence that their freight was getting from one part of the world to the other.
Okay.
So
excellent.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't our unofficial title, but that's really what we did.
Yeah.
So it was still helping.
Yeah.
And there was a moment in time in which you decided to break away from that and be able to help consult. There certainly was a buildup prior to that. I mean, not everybody stops everything and becomes a life coach or a business coach,
mm-hmm.
right? And
absolutely.
I'm very thankful that not everybody does that. That'd be kind of scary.
It would be.
But you had skills.
I'm going to be a life coach.
Life coach. Done. But tell us, what was the impetus? What started that breaking ground into this? Because it certainly, I mean, you've got to have a strong skill set. You have to know, there's a lot of people that have failed in that space, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and sure. Obviously a testimony to you. You've been doing this for 11 years. What gave you passion to be able to start off into that career path?
So that's a great question. It's a loaded question.
Not intentionally so.
Whatever.
I love the eye roll. Well, so prior, probably 7 years before I left corporate America, the team that I was with, we went out and did a ropes challenge course.
Okay.
So if you've ever been on one, it's kind of like an obstacle course.
Absolutely.
For teams.
Yep.
And the seed really got planted then. Yeah, it was similar to that. Mm-hmm. We had an extraordinary experience as a team, and I really learned what could happen through experience working with a team that sometimes we had, you know, prior to that conflict, I didn't know how well I could maybe trust the operations team with, let's say, my accounts. Like, do they really want what I want for this account? But after spending, I don't know, I think we spent 2.5-3 days over a couple of weekends together on this ropes course, I really learned to literally trust that team. And literally meaning I was on a 30-foot pole at one point, standing on the top, and I had a harness around my waist and a chest harness on.
Right.
And the instructor was on the ground with my team and said, "Now just jump out there and grab that flag. Your team will catch you." And I said, "Yeah." I was like, "Wait, that's like accounting."
There's Chuck.
Yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, and I'm in sales. They don't want to catch me."
But it's not about them. It's like they don't want to catch you.
Right.
Yeah.
But my team caught me, like literally and figuratively. And so that I didn't know until later. You know, Steve Jobs says you can't connect the dots, you know, looking forward. You have to connect them looking backwards.
Right.
Fast forward to about 7-8 years later, I did a leadership development course, spanned over 2 years. It was a coaching model and some high performance leadership. And I was enamored with the coaches and the facilitators in that group. And that organization asked me if I wanted to volunteer my time coaching and getting trained to facilitate. And I said, absolutely. So I was working just volunteering time nights and weekends. And after about 2 years of that, decided that this was really my life purpose and it's what I needed to do. And so I said, I've got about a year that I could go without making a lot of money.
Okay.
And I knew, because I was in business development, I thought it's going to take me a while to ramp up my business. And I thought if after a year, if I'm sleeping on a friend's couch and eating ramen noodles, then I'll go back to corporate America.
That'll be the milestone. Yeah. That's the check-in.
Yeah. So, so a year later, I was like, wow, this is working.
Oh, fantastic.
No ramen noodles.
There's no looking back. Yeah.
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 Fantastic.
I threw some veggies in with my ramen noodles. I was off
to
the races.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
So it was fettuccine, not ramen, and we kept on going. No. Yeah.
So so it wasn't a clear, it wasn't a, you know, a lot of my colleagues were maybe in organizational development or in HR or talent management, and then maybe started their own business. And I didn't take such a direct route. I like to say I'm a little slow on the uptake. but it was really those relationship-based the relationship-based sales in corporate America really helped me to understand the power of having great relationships, working with others. I got to see how a lot of different companies and organizations worked.
Right.
And what cultures and teams seem to be doing things really well.
I'd make the contention that you actually, I mean, not only get baptized by fire by your own pathway of just experience, right? But that needs to happen before you can actually truly understand the dynamics of a team approach. If you are just going in, no offense to anyone that takes the educational route into psychology, into these different areas right through college, but you don't have that context, you don't have that working knowledge of what really went wrong, and you know, as having. You know, having that experience. So, I mean,
Des isn't afraid to get her hands dirty.
Yeah.
True.
That,
Well, that's the thing is that
you know, from the outside looking in, you're not going to have nearly as much appreciation of what people go through to help build their teams, and when they have to recognize what's working, what's not working, and be able to affect course corrections, unless you've done it yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't want to offend anybody that's in that profession and have taken the academic route, but I mean, there is something to knowing by doing as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I as you said, you know, I like getting my hands dirty. I am an experiential learner, and I am grateful for all of those experiences and stories that I can pull into the work that I do. And I don't know that I would be as effective if I had only gotten that through theory.
Right.
I agree.
I needed to live it.
Yes. I agree. Totally.
All of it.
I think you needed to live all of it.
So let me ask you this. In today's society, in the corporate world and small business world, are you seeing, this is maybe a bit of self-fulfilling question here, but are you seeing the need for coaching more now than maybe two decades ago or a decade ago? Are you seeing the need for it, or are you seeing maybe that companies are appreciating that more?
Another great question. A decade ago, when I started my business, I specifically called the coaching that I did success coaching.
Okay.
Because in the Midwest, 10, 11 years ago, coaching was still a little woo-woo.
Yes, right.
But it wasn't. Obviously, on the coast, it wasn't.
Right.
Now, I'm surprised that I, you know, now I do a lot more organizational coaching, executive coaching. Mm-hmm. I still do personal coaching, but most of my coaching clients are executive coaching clients. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that so many individuals have never had a coach in long careers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think corporate America gets it. I think more and more people have either had a coach or been mentored, way more so than 10 years ago. But there's still a large, huge populations within organizations who've never had a coach, which is probably great for all the coaches out there. I mean,
sure.
We have an abundant marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is definitely more widely accepted.
Right.
Because I think people understand it now. It's not therapy. It's not mentoring.
Right.
Coaching
sometimes
is very,
it's therapy.
Yeah. Sometimes it is, but I also know I am not qualified to go there.
Right.
So you know, for some it might feel that way, but
let me double down on that question and ask a little bit deeper question. There are more opportunities. There's more methods of how to connect teams together, and society corporate America is understanding the value that comes from that collective team connectivity more so than ever before. In my opinion, as an outside observer, and obviously we have a firm here. I run a firm here, and I recognize the need for team building. An executive or an executive team that has not even thought about the type of team coaching or individual coaching, what are the advantages? What are the things that they're missing out on from that type of focus? Because it could be summarily dismissed. No, we don't have time for that, right?
No, I think it helps people. I know that when I was working with Des, it helped me get outside of my own head, because you can get stuck inside of your own head so easily, especially me. You can kind of, you know, create scenarios or whatever. But I think that people get stuck inside of their own head and they just can't, you know, it takes somebody else kind of feet, not telling them, but just kind of giving them different options or different ways to think about something.
Right.
And then they kind of come up with the answer themselves, mm-hmm. which always really irritated me because I always knew the answer. She just had to sit in front of me with tea and I knew what the answer was.
It's like you're not even finding yeah. that answer that,
look,
that you didn't know.
As she sips her water.
I'm coaching.
She's right coaching here. Me right now.
But you're absolutely right. People need a different viewpoint, a different perspective, and they need to be able to balance that and understand how to come at a problem in a different manner, right?
Yes.
Because
yes.
you're gonna and as soon as you can appreciate different perspectives, you learn how to mesh with different individuals in different manners. So my point is, what's the advantage of businesses doing that? It's no longer woo-woo, right? Mm-hmm. We know that there's substance to it. We know that there's benefits. What are the benefits that companies, what would they have as they engage in a coaching environment and an executive coaching environment as well?
Well, so the bottom line, a higher degree of performance, which drives results,
okay.
right? Right, but also... And so how does that happen? So individuals that are coached, you know, the coach's job, like you said, Steph, it's to come alongside the coachee, help them in a process of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really did. I mean, it sounds kind of goofy to say that you have all the answers in you, but you do.
Yeah.
And think about how many times during the process of a day, week, or month
right.
as a business owner, do you stop and reflect on your business?
In our kind of business, I mean, honestly, it is very hard
yeah. absolutely.
To stop and reflect.
And,
right.
And give and be disciplined enough. I mean,
yes.
As much as you have good intentions.
We have the best intentions.
I know.
You can literally let a calendar and a day run over you.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, there's no reflection. There's
yep.
there's no ability to give yourself time.
Yeah.
So what do you get out of that reflection? Except, I mean, there's certainly going to be an apprehension that I need to do a lot of things right now. Why in the world am I giving myself time to think?
Because
or even
you
to
have
the,
to.
Yeah.
I know.
You have to.
I would completely concur. But from a business owner that hasn't gone through this,
mm-hmm.
what are those benefits? What do they get out of that transaction?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, like, new ideas, things mm-hmm. that you couldn't even think about before, or
yeah.
a problem-solving thing that you know, wasn't really
yep.
even thought of, like, as an option. And then it seemed so simple. Sometimes it just comes, and it seems so simple, and you're like, God, I'm an idiot. But, I mean, you're not.
You're not.
It's just, you know, you have to kind of shut it. You have to turn off the phone.
That's right.
You have to turn off the freaking, you know, 8 computers you got in your office.
Easy now.
8?
He's got a lot.
It's pretty
okay, we need to talk after this.
You just have to kind of just stop. And it's very hard for me to stop.
Yeah.
And that's why I did floating. We'll talk about floating, but
yeah. Well, there's a big parallel there.
There's a huge, I mean, you know me
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, yoga and meditation and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, I know that you do it, but I cannot do that. I mean, it's not me. I cannot do that, but I could get in a float tank, which you have to go. And everything is so clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's just kind of just all the minutiae
yeah.
that we carry around. It just kind of goes away. So there's my endorsement for the day.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm going to endorse Des because she's awesome.
Well, the essence, I mean, getting back to it, and I keep on coming around to it, that Simon Sinek video that was really focused towards millennials. But
great video.
I knew he was going to talk about millennials.
Yeah.
He always has to bring up the millennials.
No.
Millennials!
But the thing is
millennials
that
rock.
They absolutely do, and they're challenged in the space because they are awash with so much distraction
mm-hmm.
all the time. And we're not doing our psyches any good because naturally we are wired just like
Aaron Douglas.
Thank you. Oh my. Sorry, Aaron.
Good thing I know
that's
Aaron.
Aaron Douglas.
Aaron Douglas of
we
A Place
apologize.
To Float.
Yeah.
Douglas Adams is literally a sci-fi writer.
Yeah.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Anyway, Aaron we were talking about this, and literally, Simon Sinek actually was focused on talking about the fact that we're wired to be bored, and we do not allow ourselves to be bored at all. And out of boredom, out of those places of silence, come innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're shortchanging yourself if you're not giving your time to be able to reflect, float, right?
Quiet your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But on top of that, actually reflecting and focusing on the team and giving mm-hmm. yourself the ability to have innovation towards the team itself. Yeah. Right? And giving the team the ability to reflect. Being that level of innovation, mm-hmm. and we're striving for innovation regularly in our organization, but we are awash with so many distractions. And mm-hmm. part of this entire thing is...
I'm distracted by this phone.
See?
I know.
Anyway. But, I mean, to that point, the benefit that productivity realm, there's so many other things on the other side of the fence when you get into a coaching environment, right? Mm-hmm. And you discover that. But what does executive coaching look like as opposed to team coaching?
Good question. So I'll just say that, I mean, everything that you said, Steph, true, the reflection piece, coaching, there are a lot of different reasons why someone would coach. It's not maybe just for strategy. It could be maybe they want leadership development coaching.
Right.
So stretching yourself into new behaviors and such. Hmm. And to your point about when do you stop? Never. I have the same challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Never. I mean, it always goes.
And it's
day.
Why I have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it causes me to pause, to think about where I am, what are the things that I need to work on and strategize?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of a refocus. Mm-hmm. So the difference between individual and group coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So in individual coaching, and I think of coaching as it's an opportunity to have someone come alongside you and help you in your goals, objectives, endeavors.
Right.
And so in individual coaching, it's really about... some of the things that we said, reflecting, thinking about maybe where you are in your business, or if you're an executive.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get off track, you have to hold their feet to the fire.
Oh, I love accountability.
Yes, she's all about accountability.
Accountability is an act of generosity.
I hated accountability. What? It's an act of generosity.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
That's easy for you to say.
It's killing me.
Right.
No, but I mean, I think it gets
it's like
back
coming
to,
home. Isn't
it is. It's like coming home. I've been gone for so long, but now I'm back.
I'm going to make a meme out of that.
What? Oh God.
You're absolutely right. And I think we are wired to be community oriented. We're wired to have some
relationships.
I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at some of the depravity and this desperate environment that society, you can see society in right now, this wasn't at the the turn in the 1950s where people were still in these small towns. Where
right.
everybody knew each other,
mm-hmm.
You couldn't get away with anything. And I'm hearkening back to where my dad grew up. Literally, he was in a town in Texas where, literally, Buster, are you supposed to be there? Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah.
As much as I hate the phrase, it takes a village, but literally, you couldn't get away with anything because everybody knew who each other was. Mm-hmm. And we are now, 50 years, 60 years hence, we are in a space where you don't even know your neighbor.
Right.
You don't know what's happening down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You are locked. You've had locked doors and you're in such a isolated mode now. Even in a family, you're in an isolated mode. Everybody's doing their own second screening,
mm-hmm.
right? Literally, you'll sit in the middle of a living room and everybody's looking at their devices and not having a conversation. We mm-hmm. are so isolated now.
Yeah.
We need to be able to be pulled back and have someone give a second opinion on how you're processing life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even in teams, right, to deepen the quality of the engagement, Mm-hmm. And if you just think about doing that with your team, how if the quality of engagement among the team, the relationships, the cohesiveness, the collaboration is greater,
right,
what that would mean for your business.
It means
it would mean a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. It means all the difference in the world. And it trains people to be able to have each other's back.
Absolutely.
Which is an imperative.
With no hidden agendas.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an imperative. And if you can get to that point where you've got everybody on board, but I mean, even that is a learned process. You just can't foist, okay, we're going to do team building and mm-hmm. go.
Right.
I mean, there has to be a gradual.
Well, that's what she's there. It's a process.
Right.
I mean, it is a process.
Yeah, there's a sequenced process to an actual team building event, but you're right. I mean, you have to, if you think about any team that is working together, there are expressed or unexpressed rules of play, ground rules, guidelines. So bringing those to the surface and deciding how you're going to play, let's say. What are the ground rules for your game?
Right.
It could be literally, figuratively.
Right.
And from there, let's decide what our activity is going to be, what our goals and outcomes are, and then we're going to figure out how to do it. And then when we're done, we're going to talk about how we did. Mm-hmm. And that the learning is in, what did we do as individuals? How did I interact with my team?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I take from that would help me when I go back into the workplace and we have, real life scenarios that we're working with?
I guess another question that dovetails to what you're saying right there is from a business that wants to do this type of work in this type of team building, they recognize there's an issue, right? Those takeaways and being able to give that business owner or exec a level of confidence that there's going to be something learned from that exercise that's going to be directly applicable,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to, okay, everybody has had a free half day to be able to just
do
something.
Right.
There has to be a benefit coming back around.
There has to be a shift. So can you give me like an example of somebody that you worked with recently that you noticed a definite shift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I just have to say there is a difference between team building and having a team event. Like I love Keith Ferrazzi has a quote. It's like putting beer and chips in a room and having your team come in is not team building, right?
That's the kind of team building that's fun.
Pizza, right? Wings,
it is.
Chili.
It's recreation, it's and there's meat. That has purpose as well.
And there's meat.
There's meat. Yeah.
There's always meat.
There could be meat. Obviously, like the carnivore.
Absolutely.
I recently worked with a team. You're talking about where have I seen a shift? Worked with a team. We were working on. We were talking earlier about Lencioni's book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And there's a training called Five Behaviors of a Cohesive Team. And I was...
You just got certified.
I did last year.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's great, great body of work. Because it starts with the foundation of that work is trust. I mean, if you think about businesses are all about relationships. And relationships are all about trust.
Right.
So in working with that team, we started with, building trust. From there, you work on healthy conflict,
mm-hmm.
but just helping the team understand how do you do conflict, because some people are conflict avoidant, some love it, but how do we do it in a safe and, as you said, Steph, respectful, we want to know that we're respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
But in that training, I did a 2 days with an exec team, and the team that walked in on the first day,
mm-hmm.
was a different team that walked out at the end of the second day after 16 hours together. And what happened for that team, it started with doing some exercises that helped them to put their guard down,
mm-hmm.
put their kind of their filters down and learn about one another, which helped them to really start to establish and build trust in a way that they hadn't and maybe couldn't in the workplace mm-hmm. because we were through the process of fun activities, but also some activities that called them to stretch themselves in new ways, mm-hmm. they were able to show up very differently and share things that they wouldn't share at the water cooler or wouldn't share in a boardroom before the meeting starts or wouldn't share if they were out for drinks after work.
It breaks down those borders, breaks down those walls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And when that happened, when it came to building constructs for other concepts, like how do we do conflict, they were able to say, this doesn't work for me, and this does. Mm-hmm. And they put those kind of those guardrails up for one another, for the team, mm-hmm. and established, this is how we're going to stay in our lane. And, you know, from there, they were able to talk about team commitments and accountability, and their whole like postures were different by the end of 2 days of doing this work. And
dare I say that they were eventually in a place where they were protecting one another.
Yeah, I mean they left. They started the 2 days. They're all exec teams, so they all have their specific towers in the organization.
Right.
And when they showed up, they were the leaders of their team. When they left, they were leaders on the exec team, and they had teams.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And that was a big, big difference in how they work together now.
So
it created a big difference.
On a one-on-one level, how would that, what suggestion or what something that you did to like an executive team where you saw like their performance changed? I mean, how did something that you said was like, oh yeah, I should do that or whatever, and then they kind of move forward with that plan, and did you see like their performance changing?
Did you say on a one-on-one level?
When you were talking to like an executive person or whatever, your executive coaching.
How have I seen performance change in that way?
Mm-hmm.
Good question. So a lot of different scenarios of why an exec would take on coaching. Let's say leadership development for an example,
right?
So if a leader is, say, wanting to develop more of a vision, let's say, with this team and helping them to buy into it, then there are some key behaviors that they can make, do on a consistent basis that will help to enroll their team into what they feel is important or what the vision is. Mm-hmm. So it starts with they need to understand and be able to articulate that vision.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So once, say in the coaching, we might work with what is your particular vision for your team, mm-hmm. and what are the ways that you could communicate that out to your team,
right,
so that they get it, and how might you involve them in the process? And so they would take steps to begin to do that with their teams.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question?
Sort of. Yeah.
Come at me again.
I'm looking for like, okay, so you met with this VP of sales and you said, okay, you want to increase sales.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to do that? And then what action steps would you like suggest to say, okay, this is what you need to do in order to do that? And then whatever the result is over a span of time, say like 90 days or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So I typically don't do a lot of sales coaching.
Okay.
But same scenario. Mm-hmm. So if I was working with someone who wanted to increase sales, I'd talk with them about what's worked for you in the past,
mm-hmm.
and how have you built your sales pipeline in the past? What worked well? Have you had any years that you've had unprecedented results? Mm-hmm. And what are some of the actions mm-hmm. and behaviors that were part of that recipe that got you to that result?
Not just cold calling. What are the actions that you did yourself?
Absolutely.
Right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes. You probably in reflection of where you were at that time in your life that you demonstrated actions that were not just sales oriented, but where were you in a mental state that you could connect to from those superior sales cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that type of reflection and inventorying with that person to get to understand their strengths?
That could come up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if we're talking about like adjusting or changing a behavior.
Right.
Being in a, let's call it a productive state of mind, you're going to be more successful than if you're working with someone and they've got a beef against the other person and they haven't cleaned that up.
Right.
If they're showing up, behaving in a way that's not congruent with how they feel, then it's just going to be messy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they'd want to clean whatever that is up first and then act, you want to engage authentically.
So you really do go through an entire inventory. It's not just what the goals are. You have to get to the foundation of what makes that individual tick. And on top of that, a bit of a self-introspection, so to speak, on what they have going on right now. You have to get rid of that baggage before they can ever grow.
It depends. Mm-hmm. But if it can't be just about the goals, because if it's only about the goals, why do you need the coach?
Right.
You know, and as you said earlier, Steph, I find for myself, I get in my own way, whether it's through I'm spinning out and haven't been able to find clarity about what I need to do next,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I just haven't taken the time to know what it is that I need to do. But maybe it's in me, but I just haven't. I need to slow down enough to think about, what's the best next step or what's my strategy or what have you. But I also have, and through a process of working with my coach and with coachees, certainly we discover ways that limiting beliefs, let's say, or ways that we get hung up and we work on strategies and ways that they can kind of eliminate those.
Everybody can persuade themselves into their self-image, can't they?
Yeah,
and it can be as cloudy as it can be clear sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's great to be able to have a sounding board, have a reflection, and be able to give that type of feedback. So trust with the coach from an executive standpoint is essential. So
absolutely.
What's the time period that you usually have for an executive coaching engagement? And I'm sure some are go on continually, but what would just to kind of box in some of your services here, what does an engagement look like?
So for a typical coaching engagement,
right.
Whether it's a like personal coaching or executive, somewhere in the at least 3 months.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to get clarity on what it is you want to accomplish, but also if the coaching period is too short.
Right.
Most people haven't had an opportunity to
scratch the surface, right?
Come up against roadblocks.
Anything, or, right, yeah.
You know, try new behaviors or actions and have them not work or not work so well.
Sure.
So, and coaching gives you an opportunity to say, okay, wow, like what worked well, what didn't, what do we want to do differently? Mm-hmm. So most are anywhere between, probably 6 months is probably about average. Mm-hmm. And the number of sessions can vary from meeting every other week to maybe once every 3 to 4 weeks. For most clients, I recommend at least initially every other week.
Yeah.
Because you want to get into your own consistent cadence of getting the work of coaching done in between the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
If you start out once a month, I find that clients are scrambling to get their work done the night before.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. Yep. Right? Yeah. Steph taught me that. I used to coach once a month, and then I had her as a client. I was like, this isn't going to work. She's cramming the night before.
I was. And it helps to have an accountability partner. That was something that you kind of taught me. I hated it in the beginning because it was horrible. I don't like people checking in on me, but it did help. I mean, it was something that you have to get used to, but I typically need someone holding my feet to the fire. Shocker, right?
A lot of people do.
A lot of people got my feet to the fire.
No, a lot of people need that type of discipline, that type of accountability. I mean, there's so many distractions, and I mean, there's so many things that are wanting to persuade you off a particular path. It's very difficult to stay on the straight and narrow, for lack of a better description.
I'll give you another example. I'm working with an exec who really needs to work on his level of communication, not just with his team, but with his peer exec team. And I think he knows what he needs to do. But in the flurry, like in the process of a week, it's like, wow, I haven't had time to slow down and really share with my team what our strategy is. And when I'm in an exec meeting, you know, I'm just like rattling off, I got it. And over time, it's like his team didn't know what was going on. And his exec team was like, he's dropping all these balls.
Wow.
And it's because he just wanted to keep moving and get out of the exec team. And
check the boxes off.
Yeah.
Right.
And so credibility was lost. And So in the coaching process, you know, we talked about what's working, what's not. What does your team need from you? Not just your exec team, but what does your team need? And it wasn't anything that I needed to tell him. He knew what they needed. But having the just the accountability of coaching, like, and I'm not in his back pocket. I wasn't like, text me after you have the meeting.
Right.
But just knowing that, hey, I've got someone who is come alongside me with this, and they're gonna ask me about it. We're gonna debrief. Gave him the impetus to do these things that he really wants to do, but didn't take the time. So it makes these behaviors that he'll take and the actions that he'll make easier to do because you know someone's gonna ask about them,
right?
And also because you know you're gonna have an opportunity to talk about how it went and and develop that skill. And over time, it's going to be something that he does without having to be prompted to do it.
He put himself in the box to be able to condition himself out of what he had deprioritized.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of times we have to put ourselves in a space that makes us uncomfortable to prioritize what we need to prioritize.
Right.
And over time, you'll be able to. I mean, there's, you know, I do think that there needs to be a consistent accountability through life, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, from an executive coach's standpoint, are you looking at a year time frame? Is that a sweet spot type of engagement, or is it a little bit longer, a little bit shorter? What are you usually looking for whenever you're from a commitment standpoint of an individual?
I do have some clients I've worked with for years. I'm typically looking for at least a 6-month engagement.
Cool. Cool,
because
cool.
Then you can, that coachee can, again, experiment with new behaviors, start to own them as their own, have some opportunities for, you know, conflict or roadblocks to come up, and they can get over those.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I try to coach myself out of a job. Like, what are some tools that I can give you to help sustain?
That's what I was going to ask you, that over a period of time, you're not going to be nearly as needed as you are in the onset of an engagement. So you are, by very definition, setting them sail. Fixing all the lines so that they know how to sell by themselves. So kind of like having kids, right?
I don't have kids, but I'm sorry. Think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but I mean, literally, at some point in time, they don't
unless
need you
they're
anymore.
17. Then it's a whole different ballgame. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, along those lines, I mean, your business model is to successfully set set them a sale.
Yeah, I mean, I nothing's better than helping a coachee figure out how they're going to sustain their development.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And it's really about maintaining your learning.
Yep.
You know, all great leaders are lifetime learners. Yes. And if they can find ways to continue to sharpen their saws, then they'll keep growing and developing.
Fantastic.
And then, you know, they can always come back and get a couple sessions and fine tune some things, which, you know, I've had clients probably for 10 years who've said, "Hey, I want to have 3 or 4 sessions with you." And I'm like, "Great."
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or you buy them sushi and then they talk to you.
Yeah.
Or they listen to all of your programs.
Yeah. I actually have a friend who I run with in the morning, and we were at a party one night, and she goes, "Yeah, Des is my coach. I just ask her to go running and she coaches me." I was like, "Huh. I didn't know that I was
That's
coaching
what
at the time." Yeah. Just, as soon as you get to a stop, just give her an invoice. And
yeah.
Well,
I cracked up. You can't turn it off, I guess.
No,
absolutely.
Can't.
If you're passionate about it, you can't.
Absolutely. And one of the things I was going to say, Aaron, is the coachee I was talking about. Like, for me, there's nothing better than getting, I'll get emails or calls, and they're like, "So, like, I was in the meeting and I did it." And I'm like, "You, like, made my day."
Fantastic.
And like to hear their experiences of, like, starting to take themselves on and do things they maybe wouldn't have done without the support of coaching.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. Yes. I mean, it's why I do it.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. And well, let me, if I could, to finish up, I'd like to change gears here and talk to you a little bit about running your own business and starting your own business. Because like we started off with the conversation, it took some pretty serious confidence to do what you did. What would you, this is a great country to live in that you can do this type of thing. What advice would you give to startups and individuals that want to kind of jump both feet into their own business, their own engagement, and be able to start doing, maybe not coaching, but doing what they are passionate about for themselves?
So once they know what it is, you mean?
Yep, absolutely.
Man, I don't know how it was for you, Aaron, but here's one thing. If I would have considered all the reasons why I shouldn't do it, I never would have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I mean, I can completely relate to that.
Yeah. I focused on why I really wanted to do what I am now doing. Yeah. And when I had doubts, I did my best to focus on what I did know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I like to say ignorance is bliss, because I work with people that are starting businesses and they're like, "Okay, I've got all this stuff together." And I'm like, "Wow, if I had to do that when I started, I probably would still be,
you'd still be writing that business plan."
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah,
in certain things.
I had a 1-page business plan. There's a book about it now. I should have written the book.
You should have.
But, couple things. I would say, you know, get clear about what it is you want to do.
Right.
And don't take advice from people who've never been there.
Right.
Because people will dole out advice as to why it shouldn't work. And
absolutely.
They're not doing it.
Right.
So how do they know? And the other thing is, when I talk with people who want to start a business, they're like, you know, they're really great at their craft. And they'll say, "But I don't want to sell anything." And I'm like, keep your day job.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because you can't launch a business if you're not willing to sell yourself.
Absolutely.
Or whatever product or service that you have. And so
it's not for the faint of heart.
You have to be willing to put yourself out there, get, you know, bloody a little bit, scraped up, wonder if you are a lunatic for doing it.
Yep.
Work a lot of hours. But if you know your why,
right,
it's so worth it.
There it is. See, she did that to me, didn't she?
Yes, she did. She sure did.
Well, that's fantastic.
I had to bring Simon Sinek back into
the full circle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me ask you a quick question. Well, first, what are your plans for 2017?
With my business.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, traveling. No.
yeah, traveling, going on safari in Africa.
I think I'm going to do that in 18. Again.
You already did it again. Yeah.
Right. my plans are... I'm doing a lot more end-to-end work with clients.
Right.
So I'm going into the business, working with the leadership teams, doing development, but also individual and group coaching with their team. So I call it end-to-end. I don't know if I made that up or read it. But really ushering them along the way to building the team culture and building the development in their organization. So excited about that work because I really get to see them develop and grow and unfold. So that's really cool work for me.
Very cool. Very cool. Kind of the entire ecosystem, so to speak.
Yeah. And I love, team building has always been my passion. So getting teams outside the workplace and doing experiential learning.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, Stephanie tells me that you have a very unique skill.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
I don't know what it is. I'm kidding. I know what it is.
Stephanie, tell us what Desiree can do.
Desiree can go out anywhere in a park and find a four-leaf clover.
Ah.
Anywhere. She has,
true.
I don't even know how many she has.
I don't
she
even
just
know.
Takes random pictures of four-leaf clovers. And there's some of us like me that have been looking for a four-leaf clover the whole freaking lives. Don't have one, but she just happens upon them. Oh, look, here it is.
Yeah.
Let me Instagram it.
Wow. Okay.
And then she wants to sock me in the head.
And then I want to beat her in the head.
I can't wait to find my first one this season. I'm gonna text you the photo.
Don't. I mean.
I told you I would take you out.
I'll go whenever you want. I don't think we're going to find any clovers on 13th and Penn, but you never know.
Well, thinking like that, we probably
will.
Well,
you're right. I shouldn't be so
anti-clover.
Well, it's just a lot of concrete.
Anti-clover.
There's a lot of concrete out there, man. It's just saying. That's it.
So how in the world do you do that? It just happens. But don't tell me that.
They find me.
They do.
Sometimes when I'm running,
yes,
I will see one.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I just my mom would always find four leaf clovers.
Really?
I must have gotten the eye
leprechaun
for them from her.
Gene.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, my mom is German, Irish, and Dutch. So.
Oh, maybe there's something there.
It's O Garcia.
Garcia.
That's right.
Right.
Very good.
Right.
Well, final thoughts of maybe somebody who feels stuck in their career right now, or in their relationships. What kind of advice would you give them what kind of advice would you give them
if they were stuck?
Yep.
I would tell them or suggest. I don't really do a lot of telling in my work, but I'd suggest that they start to make a list or journal about what are the things that they enjoy with no filter. Like, doesn't matter if you enjoy, like us, eating great sushi. But what are things that they enjoy when they're working, when they're not at work? What would they do if they had, if money was not an issue, time was not an issue? Because you start to uncover what would shape shift what your purpose might be, or what's next for you in your work, or who, and I don't do a lot of relationship coaching, but who you'd want to partner with.
Right.
So, but I'm a firm.
I like journaling a lot. And I don't do it enough, but it's really a great way to kind of put it all out there on paper, and then you can kind of look back and think, wow.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. I tell people I made up Vita Aventura. I whiteboarded. I just started bullet pointing everything that I love to do. And I was looking at this massive list. I mean, it had crazy things like, I love sushi.
Yeah.
But I started to put it in themes. And these themes centered around people. Mm-hmm. And, oops, sorry, making a difference right. with people. Love the outdoors. I was doing a lot of adventure racing at the time and loved that, like, outdoor aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of adventure racing, loved team dynamic and loved it when I was in corporate America. And I was like, wow, like this, to me, this is all around like people and team and outdoors. And I was like, well, I'm going to start a coaching and team building company.
And so, here she is.
And yeah, here I am.
Yeah. So, I mean, give time to reflect and give yourself a break and brainstorm and come up with what you love.
Yeah. What do you love? What do you appreciate?
Well, fantastic.
What lights you up?
Well, we really want to thank you for being on the show, and
yes,
we can't give enough recommendations to if you are listening to the show, seeing the show, and you're looking for a personal coach, an executive coach, or a team coach. We certainly recommend you give Desiree a shout. You can find her at Vida Aventura. That's VIDA. AVENTURA.net. Find her on Facebook at Vida Aventura. Twitter, Vida_Aventura. Anything else we can promote for you now?
That was awesome.
Doing a team building thing, class thing that we can participate in.
You know, keep your eyes out. I'm looking at doing a women's retreat in September.
Great.
I'm name
that would be amazing.
My name's a girl.
Isn't it kind of women's? It's a women's day, right?
That is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's National Women's Day.
National Women's Day.
That's why I'm wearing my red.
That's right.
Yeah, very
right.
cool. Very cool.
It.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time today. Check out all the videos at edgeofindy.com and check out Vida Aventura. We certainly appreciate her time. Remember to choose local here in Indy, guys, and stay tuned next week for Edge of Indy again. Again, this is Stephanie Daly and Aaron Sparks. Thanks so much for your time and listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.